Let us go. Let us go to Bethlehem and to think that we are not maybe geographically there, but in some ways we are spiritually. And to say that as we come as God's people to worship, celebrating this gift of Christmas, the gift of God's joy, we know that it is God who somehow reveals himself to us. And I want to share with you a simple story. It's not the best, but it helps me make a point. So there is an artist, Tom Wilson, who sometimes draws cartoons. And so he, this one day before Christmas, was drawing an illustration. And it showed a carload of people traveling down a snowy highway. It was a family. And it kind of showed that the kids were maybe not being on the best behavior. The parents were a little bit annoyed and almost losing patience. Finally, they decided to sing a song together. That familiar song, over the river and through the woods to grandmother's house we go. And then there is a last frame, and you can see the car turning into the driveway of the grandparents. And then peeking out through the window are the grandparents and their faces. And the grandmother shakes her head and she turns to her granddad and says, "We move over the river and through the woods and they still find us." It might be a way for us to think about this gift that we celebrate because it is a great mystery, but somehow as Christ is sent as God's Son to us, that he always wants to find us and he wants to be embraced as God's Son, the infant, innocent Son of God, born of Mary. Last weekend, on the fourth Sunday of Advent, I tried at least sometimes, I'm maybe logical or illusional, whatever you want to call it sometimes, but I like to maybe put things at least in some order. So the scripture talked about a sign, and Ahaz was the king. He was called to ask God for a sign, and God says, "I will show you a sign that I'm truly God, the best, the most powerful on earth. And so I'll show you a sign that there will be a child born of Mary, and he will be called Emmanuel." And then in the gospel last weekend, there was Joseph receiving in a dream that he was called in to really take Mary into his home and truly make her his wife and then accept the child that was conceived by the Holy Spirit, a mystery that was confusing. And then at the end, I said that we then look forward to the plan of God that unfolds. And today we celebrate it. We, in some sense, come spiritually to unwrap this mystery of Christ coming to us as God's Son, human and divine, innocent, holy, filled with not only life, but one who reveals the gift of redemption for all of humanity. And as we come then to worship as God's people, to give honor to a creating God, we know that he never stops finding us as he sent us Jesus Christ, who came in flesh to save all his people. And it's important maybe to reflect on whom God sent us and what is meant by infant child born in a manger, born of Mary and Joseph, who cooperated to enable God's plan to be fulfilled. It is a promise that somehow unveils itself purposefully, empowering each person with renewed dignity and life. And as we listen to the scriptures, and today there's different scripture readings than there was early last night or even in the evening, but they somehow try to give us an image and a perspective of this mystery of the incarnation. We think of the first reading again of Isaiah in very prominent and positive ways, saying that somehow a transformation always takes place because of God, a gift of grace. Or even Titus talking about that it is when the kindness and generous love of God has appeared, he saved us by a bath of rebirth and the renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he has richly poured out upon us. And so as people of faith, as Christian people, we're called maybe to ponder for a moment and realize the magnitude of God's grace and mercy that's poured upon us daily, not just today, but every day we live and are called to be disciples. And then we think of the gospel. So the gospel this morning is a continuation of the night gospel, which was the first time when Joseph and Mary gave birth in the town of Bethlehem. And then afterwards, the angel goes to the shepherds and reveals this message. And today, this morning, we hear the response. The shepherds, it says, they turn to one another and they say, let's go. Huh? And to think about this journey that they make, the outsiders who didn't really maybe seemed very insignificant, but they become, in a sense, the first evangelizers because they experience this mystery of the Christ child that they visit him. And then at the end of the gospel, it says they share these things. It says all who heard it were amazed by what had been told by them by the shepherds. And to think of the many times that as God's people, because Christ is one who is among us, Emmanuel, that Christ invites us then to be people of hope and messengers of his light, his grace, his mercy, his wisdom, his courage. It reminds us that God, on a deeper level, truly loves us humans so much that he's chosen to become intimately one with us. And he chose to give up the power of heaven with the innocence and vulnerability of an infant to become one with us. God, who chose up to give up the golden throne of heaven for a cold, dark wooden manger and a wooden cross to become one with us so that salvation would be truly possible for us. Yes, it is a mystery, and yet it's one worthy of celebration. As we honor the gift of God's Son, Emmanuel, we're called then to value the gift of human life and divine life that became visible for us. In our prayer, then, we not only recall the manger and the birth of Jesus, but yet his parents, the shepherds and angels. But we, too, somehow revel in this mystery that has transformed humanity and given us always new hope, new life, and love that is meant to be shared. That we too can reveal God's outpouring gift of compassion and comfort and mercy and love. It's an opportunity even to celebrate our faith in a renewed sense of commitment to God who always fulfills his promise by sending us the Messiah, Jesus. If we are lacking courage or hope due to darkness or fear or sin or grief or broken relationships, it might be a chance for that light of Christ to shine upon us and bathe us and renew us. Yes, God has become one with us and desires to be always intimately connected with human lives on earth, that we may be ready always for the gift of heaven. And thus, we celebrate and we go forth, knowing that we too are called in some ways to imitate the shepherds and also then to create a sense of welcome, a sense that says Christ is truly with us, with our neighbor, with our family, with our friends, with our enemy, even with the immigrant and with others who are sometimes on the outskirts, that Christ came for all. Gregory Norek said, O God, you are life, you are salvation, you are health, you are immortality. You are beatitude, you are illumination, for you delight in nothing more than the salvation of mankind. My dear friends, as we pray and continue the celebration of Christmas, not just for one day, but hopefully for 12 days, let us allow the power, the depth of Christ's love to grow deeper within us in our care for others. At this holy celebration, may Christ's wisdom empower us also to follow Christ faithfully and to live then with that spirit of respect, of peace and justice for all. Merry Christmas, and may God's grace and love abound in your lives. And thus we say, Lord, be with us. Lord, dwell among us.